More Idaho Matters from the studios of Boise State Public Radio News. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Last month, the Caldwell School Board approved a $100 pay-to-play athletic fee. And this isn't a new issue. The West Ada School District also has a pay-to-play policy, as do numerous school districts all around the country. However, does this policy price certain students out of being able to participate in athletics? And furthermore, why did the Caldwell School Board decide to implement this policy? Well, joining us now to break all of this down is Kevin Richer, senior reporter and blogger for Idaho Education News. Kevin, welcome to the program.
Hi, Gemma.
So Kevin, you've been following this issue for quite some time. So can you just start by giving us some context? Why did this idea for pay to play in Caldwell even begin?
Yeah, I mean, this is an old issue, not just in Caldwell, but it's an old issue around the state. So Caldwell's situation really began in May. Voters rejected a supplemental levy that had been on the books there for over 30 years. And this would have been $4 million a year, $4.1 million a year for 2 years. That's about 10% of their budget. So this is a pretty significant chunk of money that the district isn't getting because of the voters' rejection of that levy. So district has made several moves since then to try to downsize. I mean, they've announced that they're closing an elementary school. They're restructuring middle schools. They're reducing the staffing for SROs. So the pay to play for athletics is just one component in their attempts to try to balance the budget and make up for this 10% loss of funding.
And Kevin, since this levy failed in May, there's been a lot of criticism. In fact, some folks, including Caldwell High School's track coach, Alex Martinez, we actually had him on the program shortly after the levy failed and this idea was proposed, because there are folks like Alex Martinez who are adamantly opposed to this pay to play. And in fact, Martinez said in an interview that the school district actually needs to do a better job of helping voters understand, A, that there is an election, right? But B, why these levies are needed. So I'm curious, Kevin, about your thoughts on that, because you, I mean, you know, this is your job, but you follow not just these levies in Caldwell, you follow these levies and bonds in school districts all around the state. And historically, there's incredibly low turnout.
There really is. And, you know, supplemental levies are pretty commonplace in Idaho schools. You know, typically more than 90 school districts around the state are running a supplemental levy at some point. So we're talking about the vast majority of Idaho's school districts have a supplemental levy on the books that voters have approved. You know, as I say, in Caldwell, they've had a levy in place now for 30 years. So for the voters to turn this one down is a big development. It's a big development for the school district as they try to figure out how to balance the books. Levies have become so commonplace in Idaho school finance that it's, you know, a lot of educators will say, look, these aren't supplemental levies anymore. These have become sort of integral to what we do, central to what we're trying to pay for, whether we're using it for personnel, whether we're using it for curriculum, whether we're using it to cover extracurriculars, as is the case in a lot of school districts. I mean, you know, supplemental levies are a big deal, and they are kind of low turnout elections, and they are kind of low profile elections. You know, so there is definitely, you know, a dilemma that school districts, not just Caldwell, have been facing.
So, Kevin, with that said, why are levies almost fundamental to funding school districts in Idaho? Is there not a better way to fund schools?
Well, I mean, you're going to get into the debate about how much should the state be putting into schools as opposed to locals. I mean, that's that debate has been going on, you know, for time in memoriam in Idaho. That's an ongoing discussion. And the question of going to property taxpayers and asking them for a supplemental levy, that's a challenge. And it's becoming a little bit more of a challenge in a lot of school districts. For the most part, most districts are able to pass a supplemental levy. In many cases, it's a pretty routine renewal of a levy, until it isn't. I mean, you know, Yeah, after 30 years, now Caldwell is trying to manage without a levy. And, a lot of downsizing options are on the table, including, expecting parents to pay for athletic fees to cover athletic costs.
So let's talk a little bit more then about this pay to play fee and how it works, Kevin, in particular in the Caldwell School District. So it is what, $100? Is it, it's per sport, correct? Not per student who chooses to participate in a sport.
Right. So for the high school kids, it's $100 per sport. They've capped it at two sports maximum. So if you've got a kid who's playing in three sports, fall, winter, spring, parents are going to pay $200 as opposed to $300. That was a change that the district made earlier this summer. Middle school, $50 per sport, $100 maximum, so for two sports. Again, I think, for some families, that may not be a big deal. For some, it's a really big deal.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Kevin, as I mentioned, I mean, other school districts in Idaho, I mean, West Ada, for example, they have a pay-to-play fee in place. They've had it in place for a while. So this isn't anything new. Why do you think this particular fee in the Caldwell School District is seeming to rub so many folks the wrong way?
I can't really tell for sure why it's having that effect in Caldwell. Yeah, except that, I know that student fees have been a controversial issue in the state for decades. And you have folks, fairly prominent folks in the education debate, who will tell you that they believe that all of these fees are unconstitutional. We ran a guest opinion from several education leaders a few weeks ago. Prominent people, Jerry Evans, a former state superintendent, Russ Jokey, Bob Rannells, who are former school superintendents, district superintendents, Bob Huntley, a former Supreme Court justice. They all co-wrote this guest opinion saying all of these fees are unconstitutional because they all run counter to language in the state constitution that ensures that all students have access to a system of public, free, common schools. So any fees, whether it's for classes or for extracurriculars, they would argue it's unconstitutional.
So with that said, though, Kevin, I mean, that's all well and good. But when you lose 10% of your budget, of your operating budget, as the Caldwell School District did with this levy not passing, what are the other options? I mean, just to drop sports entirely then, if we're not going to put a pay-to-play fee in place?
I think one of the options Caldwell is talking about already is trying to run the levy again. There's already a discussion about coming back in November with another levy. And that is the soonest that Caldwell can go back to voters with a levy, because under the new state law, under the new facilities law that was passed this year, schools cannot run another levy or bond issue in August. They have to run it in November. So the soonest Caldwell could go back to the voters is November. There's already talk about maybe putting it back on the ballot.
Can we talk a little bit more about that, Kevin, for folks who may not be familiar, as you mentioned, how the new state law has gone into effect, and really how it's potentially impacting these levies or even school bonds as to when you can put them on the ballot? So and also, because this isn't a you don't have to have just a majority vote, correct, on a levy or a bond to pass?
On a levy, you need only a simple majority. So on a bond issue, you need two-thirds. So that's a very different threshold. There was a time, and it wasn't that many years ago, that school districts could run school levy elections. They could run bond, bond levies throughout the year. And even just a couple of years ago, you had four dates on the calendar that school districts could use. Now you're down to two. You can only run them in May, which generally puts, which can put you on the same ballot with a primary election, as was the case in May in Caldwell. Or you can run that election in November, which puts you on the ballot alongside of, well, in this case, it would be a presidential election, legislative elections, congressional elections. Now, the idea is to consolidate elections and to maybe increase turnout. But it also limits the number of options that a school district has, and you're on a levy in November, you're running it in the middle of your budget year. Your school district budget year begins July 1st. So you run a levy in November, and it's money that, you've kind of had to make decisions along the way, even before you go before voters with a levy.
So, Kevin, I do want to talk about the impact that these fees have on students. A lot of Idaho families just cannot afford to pay $100 per student per sport to play, especially if they have more than one child. So does this have the potential to price certain students out of playing sports, which I do want to say, I would not believe that would be the intent of any school district.
I don't think any district would want to go down this road because you're right. I mean, if we start to talk about $100 per sport or $200 per year, you multiply that by a couple of kids in high school, maybe you have a kid in middle school. Yeah, this starts to get expensive really quickly. As I've read our coverage from Caldwell since this mm-hmm. supplemental levy failed, I think that the trustees are kind of agonizing with this decision, and I think they recognize that this is a challenge and potentially a hardship for families.
So with that said, I mentioned Alex Martinez, the Caldwell High School track and field coach. He actually started a GoFundMe page to raise money to ensure that kids can still participate. He's actually, Kevin, he's raised $9,200, I believe, since the end of May when they started talking about this. And he says that this will be enough money, I mean, at least for this school year, for any student to participate at least in track and field. With that said, though, Kevin, I mean, here we're now going down a path of GoFundMe campaigns to try to fill in these gaps. And again, I mean, is this the future of school funding?
I don't know. I think, again, it kind of shines a spotlight on elections that we don't pay a lot of attention to. I think there were probably a number of voters in Caldwell who maybe didn't realize that there was even a supplemental levy on the ballot in May. And they may have voted in the primaries in other races, and maybe they didn't, go all the way down the ballot and, there's a supplemental levy in Caldwell. These are very low-key mm-hmm. elections. And even if you're putting them on a ballot alongside of other elections, when more people are going to the polls, doesn't necessarily mean that voters are going to pay attention to these elections. And I think, in a very roundabout way, maybe what's happening in Caldwell is calling attention to the importance of these supplemental levies. Because I don't think anybody would dispute the importance of athletics in school, of activities in school. I don't think mm-hmm. you'd be hard pressed to find anybody who would argue that there isn't importance, that it isn't really important, critically important, that kids have access to activities and athletics and extracurricular activity beyond the basics of coursework.
Mm-hmm. So with that said, Kevin, when it comes to these supplemental levies and them being put on the ballot, and as you said, I mean, people can very well go and vote and not, I mean, leave it blank, right? Not vote yes or no on a levy. So from the reporting that you've done over the years when it comes to school levies, how important is it for school districts to, with their messaging around this? In particular, I think that when people might be questioning, well, why do we even, why should my tax dollars be going towards a levy, right? Shouldn't that be the state? Or people just, as you said, maybe not even being aware that these are on the ballot.
To some degree, districts have to be very careful about what they say about their own elections. They cannot advocate for passage of a levy. They can do voter mm-hmm. information. They can put out information about, okay, if we get this levy, this is where the money would go. But they cannot actively campaign for a levy. They cannot use taxpayer money to advocate for an election.
Mm.
So they have to be pretty careful about how they present and how they message about a levy. So it really is kind of incumbent on voters to read the ballot language, to see exactly where their money would go, to become informed about these levies. I mean, we cover them. We write about levies across the state. Let voters know that there's something going on in their community. But it really is, it does kind of fall on the voters to pay attention to these elections.
So with that said, Kevin, then I would assume that if school districts, can't campaign for their own levy, I would assume then that they also couldn't say, well, hey, if this levy doesn't pass, then we have to cut X, Y, and Z.
They can say that. I mean, they can say, if we lose this levy, these are things that we might have to do. That they can do. And, it gets very, it's a slippery slope. I mean, it gets to where it's, they have to be very careful about how they word it. But school districts have been able to say, well, without this levy, we might have to do this. There's a risk involved with that in terms of voter backlash. I mean, if you some voters will look at that and say, well, you're just scaring us. You're just saying that this is the worst case scenario. And you're saying that, we're going to have to shut down sports, or we're going to have to, get rid of SROs or whatever. It's a complicated process of, messaging a campaign, messaging an election, and staying within the law.
So Kevin, do you think that, with this levy not passing and now the fallout of this, and as you said, it's not just implementing pay to play, right? They've gotten rid of SROs. They're closing down an elementary school. That people, voters, really didn't maybe understand the impacts of what levies do.
I think that's always possible. And I think, I don't know what happened in Caldwell. I haven't really looked at the voter turnout, the voter tally in this election versus some of the other elections that they had on the ballot. So I don't know what kind of undercount you have, what kind of undervoting you had in this levy as opposed to other levies in Caldwell. But I would say that, certainly that's a danger with these school elections, with any ballot measure. It's towards the end of the ballot, you've voted in the primaries, you've voted, you voted in the races you've heard about. You voted in the races where you've seen campaign signs, where you've seen yard signs for somebody running for an office, but you might not necessarily vote in a levy. You might not necessarily vote in any kind of a ballot measure, or you might get to it and say, I don't understand this. I'm just not going to vote, or I don't understand this. So I'm going to vote no, because I don't understand how much this is going to cost me and where exactly is this money going to go. So it's, even though you only need a simple majority to pass a supplemental levy, there's no guarantee that you're going to get that simple majority. And, while most levies do pass, there are exceptions. And, Caldwell is one of the exceptions this time.
Yeah. I have about less than a minute left with you, Kevin. So just to wrap things up, the Caldwell School District, though, is looking to potentially put another levy on the ballot.
That's what they've been talking about. And I think the deadline to get on the ballot, to get on the November ballot, is coming up in the next few weeks. So that's probably something they're still looking at. And I don't think they've had to make that decision quite yet.
Yeah, but as for now, that pay to play is in place. Well, Kevin, really appreciate your analysis on this and for joining us today. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
New from the Embedded podcast. Female athletes have always needed grit and talent. But for decades, they've also needed a certificate.
There was chit-chat about, is that really a woman?
And even now, they're still being checked and questioned. Their story is the newest series from CBC and NPR's Embedded. It's called Tested. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.